We live in a world that is, in some ways, feels like it's becoming increasingly hostile. Increasingly hostile to Christians, to Jesus Christ, to the Word of God. And something as horribly tragic as the bombing that took place at the marathon this past week. It's a reminder of the sin that pervades this world. And the situation that we find ourselves in that is truly hostile. It is truly difficult. And sometimes we can become afraid in situations like these. We can become worried that, you know, the world is falling apart, and how are we going to make it as Christians in this world? How are we going to make it as people who want to know and love Jesus Christ and hear His Word and receive His Word? These words that we hear from God to Ezekiel this morning are a great encouragement to us who live in a situation that is most likely much more normal. The situation that we're facing, in which this world is becoming more and more hostile to Christianity, it seems in some ways, is much more what the people of God throughout history have always faced. So I hope this passage is an encouragement to us, because what it is that it's a commission to Ezekiel, who was this prophet. You might remember Ezekiel was among the exiles. He had been with the Israelites in the second Babylonian invasion in exile. There were three Babylonian exiles. There were three times the Babylonians came in and attacked and deported the southern tribes from Judah and took them to Babylon. Ezekiel was part of this second group. And this initial vision that he has and this initial commission seem to be taking place in 593 BC. So this is about 600 years before Jesus Christ is born. And what Ezekiel is receiving in these chapters is a call from God, is a commission to go and speak the Word of God faithfully, clearly, and boldly. And it's also instructions to Ezekiel about the kind of response that he's going to get, and actually the kind of response that we will often get as well. So this passage that we're looking at this morning in Ezekiel 2 through chapter 3, and if I'd appreciate it if you'd follow along in your Bibles, because I'm going to be trying to stick pretty closely to these verses. It contains three different commissions. Actually, there's five commissions that God gives to Ezekiel. We'll look at the others, the last two commissions later at some other further date. But we're going to look at three of these commissions, and you can tell when each commission from God happens because it opens with the words, "And he said to me." You'll see that in this passage that we'll look at this morning. Three different sections where we read, "And he said to me." And in each of these commissions, we're going to look at not only what God said to Ezekiel, but then how it applies to us. How it applies to us who speak the Word of God, and how it applies to us as what we should expect from those who speak the Word of God to us. But secondly, how it applies to us as hearers of those who speak the Word of God. So let's take a look at this first commission beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2. And what we see in chapter 2, verse 1, down through chapter 3, verse 3, so chapter 2, 1 through chapter 3, 3, is this idea that Ezekiel and we are called to proclaim the Word of God irrespective of the results. No matter what the response is, our call is to faithfully proclaim the Word. And results are secondary. The primary thing is faithful proclamation. Ezekiel hears this in verse 1. He is called Son of Man. Stand on your feet and I will speak to you. You might notice that title Son of Man from something that Jesus called himself. Jesus called himself Son of Man. Or it could be translated Son of Adam. Member of the human race. And God is calling Ezekiel Son of Man to distinguish Ezekiel from God himself. He's reminding Ezekiel, you are a man, Ezekiel. I am God. I am giving you this commission. Stand up. And often in ancient royal court situations, if you went into a king's presence, you would fall on your face in that king's presence. And you would wait till that king told you to stand until you stood up. And so Ezekiel hears God, the king, saying, Ezekiel, stand up in my presence. You're in the presence of a king. I accept you. Stand up. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit enters into him. And I heard him speaking to me. Remember the Spirit? It was in the wheels, we read about in chapter 1, these interesting wheels that are turning multi-directional. This Spirit that is instructing and telling the living creatures where to move. This same Spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who are believers in Jesus Christ, enters into Ezekiel, gets him on his feet, and Ezekiel hears these words, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel." So Ezekiel's job is to go speak to the Israelites in exile in Babylon. And what God calls them are not kind terms. He describes them as nations of rebels. "They've rebelled against me," he says. "They've transgressed against me. They've broken my commandments." He says in verse 4 that they're impudent and stubborn. He says, "Ezekiel, these are the people you're going to speak to. People that want nothing to do with me. People that have rejected my laws, and these are the Israelites who have broken God's commandments and been carried away into exile because of their sin." This is the audience for Ezekiel. And what is he supposed to say to them in verse 4? The basic message is, "Thus says the Lord." Ezekiel wasn't to make up a message. Ezekiel was just to convey what the king was saying. He was a herald. And a herald's job was to take the king's message and deliver it to the king's people. And that was what Ezekiel was going to do. And in verse 5, it's interesting that God says, it doesn't matter if they listen or don't listen, they're going to know that a prophet has been among them. Because the test of a true prophet was whether this prophet's words came true. Ezekiel's words were going to come true. And he says, God gives more descriptive language in verse 6 about response. And any of us, if you've ever spoken publicly, if you've ever shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, you know these kind of responses, right? Verse 6 says, "Don't be afraid of them or their words." You know, sometimes people say things that are really mean if they don't like the message. He describes it as briars and thorns sitting on scorpions. I've never sat on a scorpion, but I've been stung by bees, and it's a horrible feeling. And it's true that there's a certain type of rejection. When that rejection happens, when you are speaking to someone, right? We all fear rejection. When you're speaking to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about some Christian truth, whether it be a fellow believer or someone else, we all fear this rejection, and it stings. It hurts. He's saying to Ezekiel, "I know it hurts. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their words." Or, "I appreciate that God even says this. Don't be dismayed at their looks." Body language communicates a lot, right? When you're speaking to someone, you know what someone's thinking by how they look. And God says, "Don't worry about that. Don't be discouraged by them, for they are a rebellious house." He says, "Your job," verse 7, "is to speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house." And he says it again in verse 8. His message is just being repeated over and over. "Son of man, listen to what I say to you. Don't be rebellious like that rebellious house." Ezekiel's response was to be different from the Israelites. And I find this interesting as well, that Ezekiel was not just given the message to proclaim. He was actually told to internalize this message, to eat this message, to live this message. He says, "You hear, Ezekiel, open your mouth and eat what I give to you." And then this hand, I wonder what this hand would look like. This hand is stretched out to Ezekiel, symbolizing God's hand, though God doesn't have a hand. Ezekiel sees something that symbolizes God's hand. And on this is this scroll of a book, maybe this rolled up scroll. And a scroll, you know, had a wooden pole through it, and it had this long sheet rolled up on it, which was either made out of leather or papyrus. Really tough stuff. Not exactly edible. And Ezekiel sees this hand, and there's writing on the front and the back. Normally, you'd only write on one side of a scroll. But this message is complete. This message is full. This message is very important. So Ezekiel sees this writing on both sides, and the words that are written on it are not happy words. They're not easy words. They are words of lamentation and mourning and woe. They are words which are going to address the people's sin for what it really is. And if you've ever had to do that, if you have any kind of grace inside of you, and if you've ever had to actually confront someone with their sin, it's horrible. It's very difficult. Especially if it's words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And so God is saying, I want you to eat this scroll, verse 1. We don't know if Ezekiel actually ate a scroll. Remember, this is symbolic language. This is a prophetic vision. I don't know what Ezekiel would have exactly experienced, but he's chewing on either leather or papyrus, which was like a reed. It's like, you know, just fibrous stuff. You think it would be disgusting. But actually, Ezekiel says that in verse 3, it was in his mouth as sweet as honey. The word of God, as the psalmist said, is sweeter than honey, more precious than gold. And it's a symbolism here. Ezekiel is experiencing in some sort of, through his physical senses, he's experiencing the very sweetness and truth of God's word. And even though these words are lamentation and mourning and woe, these are words that people don't want to hear, these are still God's words. And as God's words, they are sweet. They are nourishing. Even though they are difficult to hear, they are exactly what Ezekiel needs. They are exactly what the Israelites need. And so, the application to us is this. We also are commanded to speak the word of God faithfully, irrespective of results, irrespective of response. That is a lot easier said than done. The temptation is this. The temptation is to soften the message. The temptation is to alter the message to make it more palatable. The temptation is to leave certain parts of the message out. And this is a command, first of all, to those who have been commissioned by God to speak the message. In ordained ministry, like a pastor or a prophet, certainly there's primary application here. But there is also application to each one of us. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are all commanded to evangelize. We are all commanded to encourage one another with the Word of God. We are all commanded also to warn each other with the Word of God. Many of us are parents who are instructed to teach our children. Many of us are older believers who are instructed to teach and train the younger believers. We are all in Christ, brothers and sisters with one another, commanded to love one another and speak truth to one another. And the temptation is to focus, especially in church ministry, and I'll take a few moments to think about this because this is an important area. The temptation is to focus on the results, especially for Americans. We love our results, right? We love our charts. We love our graphs, especially if you have any part of yourself that's like me, kind of the engineering type or analytical type, looking to measure, to chart. You know, are we making progress? What's happening here? Are we getting the results we want? And we love results as Americans. And in many ways, that's a blessing from God. And we think about the church and we say, well, we want people to trust Jesus Christ. We want more unchurched people to be part of church. So let's get the results. And so we begin to say, what can we do to get the results? And we many times unwittingly wade into the waters of pragmatism. Which is, if it works, it's right. So if we can get the results that we want, if whatever means that we use to get there, then we should do it. And so we begin to think, well, we need to evangelize more. We need more people to trust Jesus Christ. So we need a message that's a bit more palatable to people than you need to repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. And so we begin to craft the message in different ways. Or maybe we say we need more people in church, so we need to design church environments so that people really like coming. There's a widely influential book out there in church ministry right now by Andy Stanley, who has many great things about him. He's written this book deep and wide. What is the subtitle? It's something about making the church so that unchurched people really enjoy being part of it. I was just looking on Amazon, 193 reviews, 173 of them, 5 stars, and I just looked through the book. I'm just trying to look through the book. What is the major premise? Because this is stuff I've lived and breathed and I've promoted this kind of thing in the past. The idea is that we need to make church irresistible for unbelievers so that they come and love it. And so that more people will come to church. And it's a hugely great thing to long for others to trust in Jesus Christ. Our heart has to be evangelistic. We must long and pray for others to be under the ministry of the Word. But when we begin to design church environments so that other people will enjoy being there, especially people who are not believers in Jesus Christ, we're doing something that's altering the message. And that's the main danger here. We are to be welcoming. We are to be loving. Please don't hear me wrong. We are to reach out with zeal, but we are to do it with an unchanging message and unchanging methods. That's the, many people will say, we have modern methods with an unchanging message. Well, as Pastor has so ably described in his book and in his sermons and even in the lectures that he gave this past week, methods and message are married. You can't have one without the other. The methods that we use influence the message. And so we are called to faithfully proclaim the word, irrespective of results. And this is difficult. I've lived this difficulty. The reason I am no longer pastoring in Michigan is because I lived this difficulty of response to the message of the word of God preached. And what we need to remember is that the temptation is to alter the message to get the response that we want. But the real desire of our hearts should be the glory of God. It should be saying, God is glorified not only in certain responses. He's actually even more glorified in the truth being proclaimed and being lived. And he is more glorified in being truly represented as he actually is with all of his character. And so we are actually find freedom here. We find the freedom of verse 6 of chapter 2. He says, don't be afraid of them, Ezekiel. We have freedom from fear. If we focus on the faithfulness of the message, we don't have to be dismayed at how people look at us. Verse 7 of chapter 2. You can focus on faithfulness in speaking the words, whether they hear or refuse to hear. And so we can have this glorious freedom. And our pastor is a model of this. I don't know if how many of you know how blessed we are to have Pastor Reynolds shepherding us. I mean, I'm not just saying that. I have met many, many pastors and many, many pastors. I don't know for whatever reason. I don't know the interiors of their hearts. I just know the temptations that I've faced in my own hearts as a pastor. And the temptation to alter the message is extreme. Because after you preach week after week after week and you see the responses of your own heart and of various people, and if you see friends leave, you see people reject you, you see people turn, you see people say things about you that are hard. It's impossible to separate the personal aspect of ministry from the message. I mean, we are called by God to embody the message, to preach the message, and it hurts personally. That's why God is speaking to Ezekiel in such personal ways. He's saying it's going to sting like a scorpion. Day after day, after you deliver this message over and over, but I am with you, Ezekiel, I will strengthen you. And I just want to say, our pastor is a model of a man who is speaking the word of God faithfully, week after week. He doesn't skip passages. Have you noticed that? There are parts of passages he understands better than others. He still preaches them all. There are parts of passages that he gets more out of than others. He preaches them all. There are parts of passages that he knows will elicit more response, positive response from others, and others that will be more difficult. He preaches them all. I have seen scores of pastors pick and choose scripture. I don't know why, but it to get a certain response, and I've done the same. Hopefully I've repented of that. But our pastor is a blessing to us all that way, and I just want to say we need to be seeking teachers who faithfully proclaim the Word, all of the Word, no matter what the response is. And so then, I guess, here's the other thing I want us to think about as hearers, is what is our response as hearers? You know, we need to think about how we speak it, but how do we listen to God's Word? And I hope there are things about the Bible that bug you, that certain parts of sermons that really get under your skin. I really hope that's the case, because that means the Holy Spirit is working in sanctification in your heart. And we need to pay attention to those parts of the Bible that we don't like, because it probably means that we need to learn something there. And what we need to be asking ourselves is, how am I listening? How am I receiving this Word? What kind of fruit is God bearing in my heart? We do need to think about results of our own hearts in terms of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so we're saying, how am I listening? And we're thinking about Ezekiel here. Ezekiel was told by God, he says, verse 8 of chapter 2, "Hear what I say to you, son of man. Don't be like them. Open your mouth. Eat my word." And do we come hungry to God's word? Do we say with the psalmist, "Your word is sweeter than honey. Your word is more precious to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." I don't feel that, but I want to feel that. I want to know that. I want to live that. We need to be hearers who are eager to consume the Word of God. So we need to faithfully proclaim God's Word irrespective of results, and be hearers who think about the results in our own hearts. There's a second part of this commission to Ezekiel in verses 4 through 9 of Ezekiel chapter 3. So Ezekiel 3, 4 through 9. The first part of the commission is God was saying to Ezekiel, "Proclaim my Word faithfully no matter what the results are." The second part of the commission is proclaim my word faithfully, with thick-skinned perseverance. Proclaim my word faithfully day in and day out. Proclaim my word faithfully with an appropriate hardness, strength, perseverance. Verse 4 of chapter 3, he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel, speak with my words to them." He says, you're not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language. He wasn't a foreign missionary, but to the house of Israel. Not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language whose words you cannot understand. God's saying to Ezekiel, you're not going to go to a bunch of people that speak Hittite. You're not going to go to a bunch of people who speak some European language. You're going to the Israelites. And he says, he says in verse 6, this is just very interesting here to me. He says his words, surely if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. I love that God knows all things actual and possible, right? That's one thing about God's omniscience. He knows everything. He knows that, if this were to happen, this would be the results. Remember David was praying, you know, should I go and attack this city? And God said, no, if you do that, this will happen. So God knows all things actual and possible. And so God knows that if he sent Ezekiel to the people, to other people, they would actually listen, there would be a revival. But instead, God in his providence and in seeking his own glory is sending Ezekiel to people who won't listen to him. Which turns so many things on their heads, right? We think about how can we maximize effectiveness? How can we maximize ministry? How can we win the world for Christ? Where can we go and be most effective is what we like to think. We like to think, you know, Henry Blackaby popularized this idea in Experiencing God. He says, go where God is moving. Right? How do you know where God is, where God's doing? You see certain results. So that's where God is working. Go and do that. But what God is actually doing with Ezekiel and with us sometimes is he's saying, go where you see no results. Go where you aren't going to see any results. And in that you will glorify me. And in that you will be obedient to my commands. He says, verse 7, the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they're not willing to listen to me. Is that not helpful in those of us who speak the word of God, who even just share the gospel? When we face that rejection, if they don't want to listen to us, Now, if we're being annoying, if we're being sinful in some way, and that's why they don't want to listen to us, well, that's a different story. But if they won't listen to us because the message is unacceptable to them, remember, it's because they won't listen to God. And he says, because all the house of Israel, they have a hard forehead. They're hard heads. They have stubborn hearts. And God says something to Ezekiel. He says, behold, I've made your face hard as their faces. He says, I'm going to give you a hard head, Ezekiel. And your forehead is hard as their foreheads. You're going to butt heads and you're going to be able to, you know, stand strong. He says in verse 9, like emery, harder than flint have I made your forehead. It's going to be like a steel forehead, Ezekiel. Don't be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Now, God is not telling Ezekiel, look, I'm going to make you hard-headed, annoying, obnoxious. He's saying to Ezekiel, I'm going to strengthen you so that when that scorpion stings, when those briars slash across your back, when those words of rejection and those looks of rejection come to you, you'll be able to stand. And we are, again, not to be annoying in ourselves, hard-headed in ourselves, but we, as we speak the word of God faithfully, are to ask for God's strengthening. You know, Ezekiel literally means, the name means, God strengthens or God hardens. And that we are to ask God for that. We are to faithfully proclaim his word with thick-skinned perseverance, with the ability to stand strong in the midst of rejection, with the ability to say, God, you've called me to do this, and I'm going to do it. It hurts. I know it hurts, but I will stand strong and do this. And I think this reminds me of something that the pastor in Milwaukee, Wisconsin said about the requirements for pastors. This could be said of the requirements for an elder, the requirement for a deacon, the requirement for any church officer. Three requirements. One is the mind of a scholar. Two is the heart of a child. And three is the hide of a rhinoceros. Meaning that there are just difficult things that happen in ministry by nature of it being ministry. And the gracious thing about God is that he doesn't just say, look, go out there and do it. Just do it. He says, I'll actually strengthen you. And we are encouraged to ask for that strengthening, that perseverance. And that's how we should think about our faithfulness in speaking the word of God with thick-skinned perseverance as speakers. But let us think about also as hearers. As hearers, will we encourage those who speak to us to persevere? One of the things that led to us finally concluding that my pastoral ministry in Michigan was not going to work out in the long term is that I could not find a single elder to stand with me in what I believed and what I was speaking. And at the end, that's what really emotionally and literally crushed us. It was a sense of just being alone. And let me say that we are blessed here at this church with a unity, with a love, especially among the session. And would you pray for your pastor, for your session to continue in that, to persevere in that? Would you pray for their perseverance in faithfully proclaiming the word? Because that is what an elder is charged with. It's the ministry of the word and prayer. And the session of this church is commissioned to guard the teaching, the living of the word of God. And we need to pray for their perseverance, not because they're about to lose their perseverance, but because they're human, as every one of us is human. And the rejection and the difficulty that word-based ministry takes upon anyone is very intense. I don't know if there's any other way to experience it other than just actually having gone through it yourself. But just trust me on this, that every elder, this church, needs your prayer. Just for the sake of persevering in faithful proclamation of the word. And so we need to pray for that. We need to encourage. I can't tell you as a pastor how much just simple words of encouragement mean. You know, there are pastors that are out for flattery. There are pastors that are out to just, they just want to be built up. That is not what our pastor is after. That is not what our session is after. You know, words of encouragement are so strengthening, are so helpful. And God uses that to develop that thick-skinned perseverance. Just keep going another week. So, as we think about faithfully proclaiming the Word of God, we think about doing it irrespective of the results. Faithfully proclaiming the Word. We faithfully proclaim the Word with a thick-skinned perseverance. But there's a third commission here, and it's in verses 10 through 15. And this is a commission to proclaim the Word faithfully with the Spirit's empowering. We need the Holy Spirit to faithfully proclaim the Word. We must proclaim the Word, listen to the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Moreover, he said to me, verse 10 of chapter 3, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. And go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God. What? That's the basic message. Here's what God has said. Here's what he says. Here's what it means. Here's how to live it. He says, whether they hear or refuse to hear, then the Spirit lifted me up. This must have been amazing. The Spirit actually takes Ezekiel, picks him up, transports him. And, it's happened to only a couple people in biblical history. The Spirit's actually just transporting somebody. And he hears behind him this voice, like an earthquake, like buildings collapsing. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from its place. And then the sound of the wings of the living creatures touching one another. The sound of the wheels. It sounds like an earthquake. It sounds like everything's falling apart. Remember how God shows himself? He shows himself in thunderstorms often. In loud, violent situations. Because God is a powerful, strong, mighty God. And so the Spirit, verse 14, lifts him up, takes him away. He goes in bitterness and heat of his spirit. The hand of the Lord is strong upon him. Don't know exactly all that Ezekiel is feeling, but it must be the fact that Ezekiel has just heard what he has to do. Ezekiel has heard what his ministry is going to be like. And it's going to be one of sustained rejection. And he has also seen the people's sin from God's perspective. And I'm sure he is mourning that. And so he goes to the exiles by this canal in Babylon. He sits down overwhelmed by them for 7 days. And I would be overwhelmed too. The Spirit is the necessary ingredient in faithfully proclaiming the Word. The one necessary ingredient. As so many of us, myself included, I am the greatest sinner that I know of. In this area, we live on it with a theology of self-reliance. I need to try harder. I need a different technique. I need to do something differently. If I just put forth enough effort, I can get the right results. We need God's Spirit. We can actually only do anything of any lasting value through the Spirit of God working in us and through us. And so for those of us who speak, will we beg God's Spirit to strengthen us? To lift us up, the Spirit lifts Ezekiel up several different times in this chapter 2, verse 2. He does it again in chapter 3, verse 24. We need the Spirit to proclaim the Word faithfully. But we also need the Spirit to hear the Word of God correctly. There are several passages in the New Testament that remind us that without the Spirit of God, we would reject the Word of God. One of them is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'll read this for us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 14, Paul says, the natural person, that is the person without the Spirit of God, the non-Christian, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. I hope that encourages us all as we speak the Word of God, as we evangelize. Non-Christians are meant to reject the Word of God. Because all of us, if you have a time of your life when you can remember a time when you were not following Jesus Christ, I remember the time in my own life where the Bible seemed really stupid to me. And that's what God has said. That's how it will appear. And he is not able to understand them, these things of the Spirit of God, these things in the Word of God, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned meaning you need the Holy Spirit to discern them, to understand them. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. One of the gifts of God in salvation is actually being able to think Jesus' thoughts after him. Being able to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Being able to understand the truth of things as they really are. Being able to understand the Word of God. So will you beg God for illumination, understanding His Word? Will we come expectant to this banquet that is prepared for us every Sunday morning and evening? Our pastor is preparing a banquet for us every Sunday morning and evening. Will we come expectant, praying, Spirit, will you teach me through my shepherd, through the Word of God? Will you instruct me? Will I come hungry? And as we instruct others, whether that be our children, whether that be a friend, a neighbor, a brother and sister in the body of Christ, will we do it with great dependence upon the Holy Spirit? Remember, Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, he says, if you see your brother caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Spiritual just means filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit as we speak the Word of God to one another, especially in situations where there are words of that would be difficult to hear. So here's the commission to Ezekiel. Here's the commission to us, to faithfully proclaim the Word, to faithfully hear the Word. And as we faithfully proclaim the Word, we faithfully proclaim it irrespective of what the results are. We faithfully proclaim it with a thick-skinned perseverance. We faithfully proclaim it with the Spirit's empowering. And we faithfully proclaim it as even Jesus Christ did Himself. See, that's the great news at the end of this passage. There is one who has done this. There is one whom we can trust. There is one Son of Man who has faithfully proclaimed the Word of God no matter what results he got. Remember, what were his results? His results were pretty horrible. Initially. Time of the cross, everyone rejected him. Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. His results were such that after he fed the 5,000, the people said, we want more food. And Jesus said, you're following me just because you want more food. You have to eat and drink the actual Son of Man. And it says that just about everyone left him. He wasn't anymore speaking a message that they wanted to hear. But he endured. And he was the one, it was said of him that his face was set like flint to go to Jerusalem. He was the one empowered by the Spirit who always obeyed his Father. And though his results appeared at first to be inconsequential, his results are unsurpassed for all eternity. For he is the one who reigns. He is the one who is drawing men and women and children to himself through the Spirit of God. He is the one who is gaining glory for himself, the Son of Man, who not only faithfully proclaims the Word, but actually is the Word. He is the one we trust. He is the one who gives us the forgiveness that we so desperately need.